Well, I'm going to need some of that music.
Did you see,
did you see that
Bad Moon Rising all night last night? Were you?
Yeah.
It was full the other night, so it's probably pretty late coming up.
I did see it a few nights ago when it was full going over the top of McDowell Mounds. That was absolutely gorgeous. Welcome back to the Rosie on the House Show. We're in the garden with John J. Harper. Let's get back to the lines. We have a lot of people that have been very patiently holding. We're going to go to George, who wants to talk about frozen citrus. Good morning, George. And I don't think he's talking about the kind you buy in a can
not Minute Maid
at Bash's. No. Morning, George.
Yeah, I got a key lime, and all the leaves fell off of it. There's five leaves on it, and now they're coming back. Should I shade it until all the leaves come back because it's getting hot out?
No. It is not hot, number one.
Key lime.
Limes are real tender. Limes are real frost tender. Okay. Most everybody that had a lime or a lemon probably had some frost damage, had some leaves fall off, but it's already leafing back out.
Okay.
Which means what you should do is fertilize it.
Yeah.
And make sure you get some fertilizer on it. Now, don't overdo it. Don't try and make up for lost ground. Just give it a normal fertilization with a good citrus food. In about 2 to 3 weeks before it gets hot, it will be completely leafed back out.
Okay.
All right. And anything that doesn't, if you have a few of the ends of some of the branches or the tips that don't leaf back out, then you can just kind of prune those back to where you have leaves.
Yeah. Some of them go and get brown to some of the tips. So.
Yeah, some of the tips probably are dead. You'll probably have to prune back some of the tips on those, but that won't hurt a thing.
There you go. We appreciate the call, George. Let's go to Heather, also with a citrus question. So I'm going to have that kind of trouble all morning long. Good morning, Heather. Here's John J. Harper. How can he help you?
Hi.
Heather?
Well, actually, we have Tommy on the line, Rosie.
Tommy.
Let's take Tommy. All right. Good deal.
Heather to Tommy.
Good morning, Tommy.
Good morning, and congratulations, Rosie.
Thank you, sir.
My question is, I've got two acacias in my front yard, both of which I noticed that the bark was checking and peeling off. The inner bark was getting real powdery, and now there's bore holes.
What kind of acacia is it?
I'm not real sure. It has a...
Thorns or no thorns?
No thorns. Has a bright yellow leaf... Or bright yellow flower and seed pops that pop and scatter stuff everywhere.
Oh, okay. And you've noticed some powdery dust, and that's the sawdust from the borers that have already been there. And are they in the main trunk?
On one of them, it is on one of the two trunks. On the other, it is on a limb. And on that one, I've noticed some bubble. Bubbling up the last couple days.
Yeah, now that it's warming up and the tree is starting to actively grow, the sap is flowing and it's going to start oozing and bubbling out of some of those holes. Unfortunately, about the only way to really get rid of borers is to prune it, and the damage is to prune it out. Now, the one that's just in the limb, you can remove that limb and hopefully they haven't gotten into the main trunk of the tree. The other one that they're in the main trunk of the tree... if it sounds like maybe it's a multi-trunk and there's just one trunk that's affected, you probably should remove those. You can also then use a borer spray. Spinosad is a pretty effective, safe method to control borers. And after you've done your pruning, then spray the spinosad on the remaining trunks and limbs, and that hopefully will get ahead of it. But I would start pruning it out and try and get ahead of them.
Okay.
All right.
I do also have a cat's claw acacia in the front that it looks like I've got one limb that has any green leaves left at all after all the heavy frost and everything.
Well, cat claw acacia can go pretty dormant, almost completely dormant in the cold. So I wouldn't worry about that one. It should start leafing back out with the warmer weather.
Okay.
That's just an issue of it's just doing what it should be doing.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
Hey, we appreciate the call from there. We have a question on tomatoes. I believe it's Bob. Good morning, Bob. How can we help you, sir?
Good morning. Good morning, gentlemen. I hope you're having as good a morning as I am.
There's a guy that's up and at it.
Hot diggity dog.
All right, Bob, what's up?
Well, John, we've talked before. I'm Bob from Levine. I got a small vegetable farm down here on the south side, and I got a question about tomatoes.
All right.
This year, I'll be planting, or I'm in the process of planting about 400 tomato plants. And as always, you take the lower leaves off the stems, and you put the stems a little deeper into the ground to get increased root growth. But my question is, what would happen if I didn't cut them lower leaves off?
Well, nothing. You mean if you didn't cut the leaves off and you buried the leaves?
Would the leaves collect some sort of fungus, maybe?
Well, they could. Yeah, you could get some, some damping off, or, you know, if that foliage is buried, it could rot, and that potentially maybe could get into the stem of the tomato.
Okay.
So I would probably either pinch them off or just don't plant them that deep. You don't
My
have to.
My wife's adamant. My wife's adamant. I'll be planting them deep. You know how wives can be.
Then you better plant them deep, and you better pinch the leaves off.
Yeah. I agree.
You going to bring us some of those tomatoes, Bob?
Oh, you betcha. You betcha. I'll bring that new grandkid some.
All right. Sounds good,
awesome.
Bob.
All right, fellas. Have a good one. Thanks.
Hey, we will. Thanks for the energy. We're needing it. I'm needing it here this morning. Yeah, I think if the wife is that adamant about planting them that
Why is he even calling us?
Well, why is he even calling us? Or why has he got? Why does he have to pick the leaves off?
Uh-oh.
That's my
You've
question.
Been married long enough. You
that's,
know the answer to
that's
that
That's my question.
Because he was told to.
I guess. All right, let's go to the next caller. Bring in the next caller and the next question. How can we help whoever this is? Good morning. I guess I got to give him a name so they know we're talking to him.
Flying
right?
blind here. Yeah. It's you.
Who are we going to bring
George,
in, Mr.
George?
Yeah.
Hey, George. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. Hi, guys. How are you doing?
Very well.
Good. Say, John Jay, I think I remember some time back, not too long ago, that you said something about it's not a good idea to fertilize lantana. And so I'm not sure I trust my memory because it's
Well, some time ago I might have told you that, but it's a good time now. You don't want to fertilize it in the dead of winter or in the cold or before, even late in the fall, before we're going into cold weather. You don't want to push new growth just for the reason that we had this winter. If that new growth comes out and it's fleshy and soft, it's going to freeze anyway. Okay. But now that the frost is over, things are putting on new growth. We should be trimming back all of our frozen plant material back to where we have green, viable stems and canes, and then we start applying fertilizer. In the case of lantana, just about any old fertilizer will work just fine.
Uh-huh.
But it's time now.
Okay. I guess I misunderstood you before. I thought you.
No, you probably didn't. We could have been talking in the dead of winter, and it wouldn't have been time.
The question is the timing of it.
Yeah,
it's not that you never fertilize
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely right.
You just would not have fertilized it in December.
Okay.
That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Okay, I got you.
And on lantana, it is really tough to over-trim them. I mean, you can take them right back almost to the root ball and let them start from scratch, can't you?
You can, and I was with a gentleman at our meeting in Prescott the other day. In fact, he's a rep for one of the very major plant growers in this country, and he lives in Prescott, and he has a couple of lantana, and he said they freeze to the, which I can imagine.
Oh,
so
yeah.
They come back from the roots every year, as bad as they look. It's the one plant that you just don't have to worry too much about it.
Yeah, and we showed a demonstration last Saturday about me trimming a bird of paradise with a chainsaw.
Right.
Works really quick. Job is done in minutes.
Oh.
We got a text and they said, "Is that what John Jay meant by scratching the bark?"
I had one of our loyal listeners come into the Mesa nursery last week and present me, and I've got it in my truck. I just forgot to bring it up here. A special blade for a Sawzall. And he says, "You guys with your chainsaws have got it all wrong. He goes, you need a Sawzall. Here's the blade. I'm giving it to Rosie."
Okay.
He said, "You embarrass me by you." over tooling. He goes, a sawzall is all you need.
That was over tooling.
And he's probably, you know, almost anybody can handle a sawzall. It's not heavy and hard to use. And they do actually work pretty good on trimming certain things.
Now, I wonder what he thinks of the tool I use to trim Lantana.
Which is a flamethrower?
No, just a shovel.
A shovel.
I just go in and just
knock them off.
I just go right in and I do a 12-inch diameter right around the root ball. I just take everything back. Boom, 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 boom. Put a rake around it, pick it up in the can. It's done.
He might be okay with that.
Yeah, it works really well.
He might be okay with that, but boy, I'll leave the blade to the sawzall in your truck out there so you can check it out.
Okay, good. I do a lot of sawzall stuff on my mesquites and my palaverdes.
There you go.
I do that when you want to make that cosmetic cut. You want to get in there as close as you
after
can.
After you've trimmed the, you get back to the final cut.
I just take it off right there with the sawzall. So it does work very good. I'm anxious to see what blade he actually gave you. It's the Garden Hour with John J. Harper here at Rosie on the House, broadcasting live from the University of Phoenix Stadium, where we have the Maricopa County Home and Garden Show today. We'll be broadcasting live. If you show up here, we've got a special guard at Gate 2 that'll let you in. You can watch the broadcast, and we'll get you in the building free. Come on down and join us now.